So today we will hear from a relatively new member of our chapter, Silvana Francescutti. Silvana was received into the order just last year, and next month, God willing, we'll make her temporary promises. So without further ado, I invite Silvana to tell us about her apostolate.
Can we start with the Hail Mary? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So I was asked to speak by Stefano, and he mentioned, you know, whether the baby box was my apostolate, and I said I actually have a different apostolate, but the baby box was a work that God called me to do. So I'll try to divide my time a little bit, speaking about the baby box and a little bit on my apostolate. You're gonna have a picture pass by. That's the picture of the Safe Haven baby box, and I'll explain to you what it is. You can look at the front and the back. The front is how it works in the outside, and the back is how it works in the inside. I'll speak a little bit on the technical aspect, because for you to understand the spiritual aspect, we need to just have a little bit of a vision of what it is. But I don't want to focus on that. I really do want to focus on the spiritual aspect of this project. The Safe Haven Baby Box is a mechanical thermoregulated box that comes with three silent alarm systems. And the goal of this baby box is that if a mother is ever in a crisis, she can surrender the baby in a safe manner. And actually, we just had our first baby surrender here in Middle Tennessee not even a month ago. And just going into where this comes from, you know, Safe Haven, the Safe Haven bill goes back to 2008. It's a federal law that saw that the number one highest risk of death for a child and for homicide is the day of birth. So this Safe Haven bills were enacted. And for us in Tennessee, it's Senate Bill 1146. The way the baby box goes, it doesn't change that. It only enhances the law. So we're not changing state law here. Governor Lee signed it in a way that it can be allowed for the baby boxes to be into place. But it really just plugs into the Safe Haven bill. And that is key, because a lot of people ask, what happens to the baby? Standard protocol happens, and I'll go into that. But it's just enhancing the law. But really, the goal of the baby box, and one of the reasons why I felt called to do it, actually the main reason I felt called to do it, was because Jesus kept nagging about it in adoration. He just kept bringing it up and bringing it up. And I said, Lord, are you asking me to do this? And when you ask that, he tends to answer that. But truly, what I had seen a child was surrendered in a trash can in New Mexico. And I realized, well, Tennessee doesn't have baby boxes. Not a single one of them. And what I liked about this model is that at the time, there were 150 baby boxes across the nation, none in Tennessee. And it's a really well thought out system, because it comes equipped with a 24/7 access to a licensed counselor. So the goal is to stabilize the mother, to prevent her from getting to that point. Now, sometimes she's just talking to a professional, that's all they need, and it's all anonymous. And it also comes with a access that if the mother does surrender the child, she can get free telehealth appointments that are anonymous. So I really liked the system. It was well thought out. The problem was that we didn't have the policies for it. So it was really interesting how this worked. I said, well, I kept praying to God. I said, Lord, open the door for this to happen, and the door wouldn't open. And I kept praying with some friends, and adoration really was often where I would go to get, you know, signal graces. And then one of my friends said, what if instead of praying for a door to open, you just work until the door closes? And I said, you know what, good point. So I just went for it. The problem, the biggest obstacle I hit really was twofold. At first, the fire chief was not very responsive, you know, and it actually took 6 months to get a proper response. And I kept thinking about that verse where that person kept knocking and then they opened the door because they were annoying. So I said, I'm going to be that person. And really, what really hit it was that there was January 2023, there was a baby in a trash can in Jackson, Tennessee. That same week, we had a baby in a baby box in Kentucky. So my last out of three or four emails to the chief, I said, look, chief, do you know why there's a baby in a trash can in Tennessee and one in a baby box in Kentucky? They have 16 and we have zero. I am coming to you. It's already, the money's already pledged. It's free for the city. It's not, nobody's paying for it except for those donating it. I'm just asking for you to sit with me for 30 minutes and hear me out. You don't like it, you don't ever have to talk to me again. And he said, let's do it, you know. So that moved forward. Then I hit the obstacle where we needed to amend city policy. And that was, I said, I have zero experience in this. But, you know, Jesus, I said, I've done part of this, Lord, but I'm still, if you really want this project, I said, Lord, I think all I'm going to ask for you is to guide me to the right people to amend the city policies. Because I was working in Hendersonville. And one thing, it is important to note that I felt God was saying, this baby box is not about your city, Hendersonville. It's about starting a movement. Because I think, you know, Jesus wanted something a little bit bigger to save babies. And so I did what I know how to do best. And I said, I'm going to do nothing for 30 days except pray. And so I took what I call the big guns, the Holy Cloak of St. Joseph. And it's a 30-minute prayer for 30 days. And for 30 days, I did nothing because I did the best I could and it got stuck. And so I pray. And on the last day, I didn't meet somebody. I had no clue what to do. And I said, St. Joseph, I have no clue what to do. A few days later, I get in a call with the CEOs of Save Haven Baby Box, they oversee the national project and all the different baby boxes across the nation. And then he says, it was completely unrelated, but then he says, have you heard the good news? And I said, no, what's the good news? And he said, well, the governor of Tennessee just signed everything you needed to state law. And I had no clue who was working on this at all. It just happened right when, you know, I finished the prayer and I said, St. Joseph. Like, what did you do? You know, it was just quite incredible to witness St. Joseph do that. And I said, Lord, have mercy. What did I get myself into? I said, if that happened, I was not going to complain for the rest of the way. So I didn't. And from there, it just kind of started moving really fast. Then everything, God started putting the right people in the right place. It got approved by the city. And lo and behold, it was ready to be installed and released. It was going to be funny enough, right at the same time, the chief of Knoxville was actually working on one too. But when I started, there wasn't any. He ended up being instrumental. He helped me so much with just sharing, you know, yes, the documents by the lawyers, all these things, just streamlined the whole process. So I realized God was working on a lot of souls at the same time. And that was very interesting to witness. You know, it's just, you just get these moments that you step back and you're like, you're so real, you know, you're so alive. And, but now here comes where it's a little hard for me to talk about. So the baby box stops, everything just stops because we get a tornado hit Hendersonville. Funny enough, after a lot of prayer, I got pregnant. You know, the hard thing for me is that my previous pregnancy was a stillbirth. And so it's hard to talk about. But, you know, it's you're doing this, you're thinking you're helping people, but God is helping you, you know? And it all came down at the time where I needed not to think about pregnancy. And suddenly this project stopped. And I was like, what's going on? And I get pregnant. And then I realize it takes off right at the time where I lost my child. So it was, you know, late in the pregnancy that he was a stillbirth. And I realized he didn't want me thinking during that time. Because that's when the media came. And then I got a request for another baby box in Middle Tennessee. And then all these things were pouring on me, you know, working with the different mayors and lawyers. I'm like, I had no time to think. But I realized that was a gift for me because crossing that line was so hard. And I said, Lord, your timing truly is perfect. You know, even this tornado, it didn't hit anything in the city. The baby box was fine, but it caused a pause. And I realized, like, it just worked in my favor because now I started working in the project. It was the most nerve-wracking time. I didn't have time to think. And so, in a way, I realized he was healing my heart too. And then also this project came from that. You start thinking about just the intricacies of pregnancy and being a parent and, you know, a child. And like, life, how fragile it is, you know? And so I asked my little saint in heaven to pray for these babies. And that's where this project really came from. It really was not about, as beautiful as saving a baby is, it's never really about the work itself. It's the will of God. I mean, God could have asked me to open a beehive or a library. It would not have mattered, you know? my only thing is like, what is your will? And he really takes you into this. I didn't think about this project. He really just wouldn't drop it. I would go to adoration, I would come back again. And I'm like, Jesus, you know, okay, I get it. And I guess what I want you all to take from this is be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you may have a project. I had projects that I thought of that were, to me, much cooler. But Jesus had other plans. And so I always tell people, it's like, just listen. Go to adoration and listen. What does he want? It's not about what we want. He knows the whole picture, right? And I always imagine life to be like a tapestry. You see all these knots on the back and they just make no sense and they come in and out. And then one day life stops and God just flips the whole thing over. And he's like, this is what I was working on. And then this is a glorious image. You were like, nothing made sense for the longest time, but now I see what you were doing. And that's what it is. I mean, we think about our Blessed Mother. She was so receptive. She was not worried about what to do except saying yes to God. I've learned along the way that I don't look at a project and say it's too big or too small either. It's just, is it your will or not, you know? And the only way to know that a lot of times I've learned is with time and patience. He won't drop it if it's really his will. And prayer, obviously. And I always tell people, you know, with prayer, you're speaking to God, but with meditation and adoration, you're listening, you know? So go listen as well. Listen, and he will speak, and he will make crazy things happen. And now, you know, looking back in a couple of years, we went from zero baby boxes to, I think we're at 23 of them. I ended up getting calls from all over the state. It was just wild. And they're just taking off across the country. And the lady who started it, actually, she was a surrendered child, too. I just helped initiate Tennessee, me and the fire chief in Knoxville. But it really is all God. I really often just felt like a pencil in his hand. And he just wants you to witness that so you can tell his story. But in the end, he just needs somebody to say yes, you know? And that's really what the story for me is about. Does anybody have any questions at this moment? I could also go into a little bit of the technical aspect of, you know, we have the hotline, we have the licensed counselor. What happens to the babies is usually one of the main questions that I get. One, especially we just had a baby recently. One, we don't change the protocol of the state. The same thing would happen as if a person can still go face to face and surrender. Obviously, it's a big obstacle for a lot of women because they don't want to come face to face. You know, they're ashamed or there's abuse or something's going on in their life. So one of the reasons I do like anonymous surrender is I've learned through this work, the number one reason a child gets stuck in the system, like foster care, is because usually a mom or a dad or a relative or somebody will not surrender parental rights. So one might, the other one might not, or maybe their legal status is not, you know, easily known, and so that might, you know, hinder things, or there's just so many things, and a lot of times, 80% of the time is what I've learned is that's what causes a baby to get stuck in the system. Now, with the Safe Haven Baby Box is, because it's anonymous, you have, I just read last night that it's now 45 days postpartum to surrender the child. After that, there's a 30-day grace period. Mom or dad can come back for the baby, 30 days. But it's important to just have a cutoff because having no cutoff is really bad for baby too. You have 30 days, both parents can come, nobody else. They are linked genetically. In the meantime, there's a database for missing children. There's a whole protocol. The baby's being checked to make sure this baby is okay. But after those 30 days, the state terminates parental rights. And it's a very clean process. Now, the baby can be in its forever home from day one. Once the baby's cleared from the hospital, they can go to a parent that is already vetted to go foster to adopt, meaning this person's already been cleared and they're open to fully adopt. Now, we don't know what could happen in those 30 days. So they're ready to receive this child, and they could become their forever child but you still need that time frame to pass. Governor Lee actually passed a law called the Forever Homes Act like a year later or less after I was working on this, that halves the federal standard, which is I think 6 months to 3 months, to finalize all the paperwork to have the BV fully adopted. So Tennessee is doing a lot of great things. Is it a mess-free process? No, there's nothing that is simple when it comes to surrendering a child, even for the parents. I've learned that the number one call that the baby box founders, they get through their hotline is my child gonna be okay? You know, so we don't know. We really don't know what's going on. And there's a lot of things happening in the background, but they chose life, you know? They chose life, and that's what matters. And it's not our place to judge that. At least they chose life, especially in this culture of death. Anything? I think I've covered the main things. Are there any questions so far? No. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
How many did you say there are here
now? I think it's 23. It's either 20 or 23, but there's more coming. There's a lot of miracles that have happened around that too. And they're just popping up within a couple of years from 0 to 23. Go ahead. So I did a lot of work with city councils, nonprofits, the radio, to get the word out. Part of this is, you know, getting help from others to get the word out. Like, anybody can go to savehavenbaybox.com or .org. You can look it up and request the pamphlets, take them to schools, just let the word out, know that that's happening. I did a lot of stuff with the media, but it can become a full-time job. So that's where the community comes, and you can choose on your own accord to, like, reach out to Safe Haven Baby Box, request some of those pamphlets, and take them to, like, pregnancy centers. I tried to do that as best I could. I did present for a lot of councils that are run by the different cities, and, you know, you present to all their groups and stuff like that every month. But it does become a full-time job, so if you feel called, I would appreciate that. I know one of the best ways is to get, like, advertising in Facebook and all that stuff, but at some point, you know, it was a few years of work, I realized I have to, now I have a newborn and a baby, so you step back and you realize, and now the community can take part in that as well. But definitely the latest surrender brought a lot of attention to it, and I did bring it to a lot of health departments and stuff like that. But God knows that there's still work to be done when it comes to that. So if you know a community that could benefit, I recommend reaching out to them online, requesting some of those pamphlets be sent, and they can have it at the pregnancy centers or wherever you think would benefit. It's a good question. Thank you. Go ahead. So that's a good question. So according to the state law, it has to be a place that is manned 24/7, and that includes hospitals, fire stations, and police stations. Police stations look scary, so I said, not this one. I picked fire stations that were close to hospitals. You know, you're gonna go surrender a baby. You're like, I don't know about the police station. But everybody likes firemen, you know? They're like nice people, they're saving your life, you know? So I put one in station number 5 in Hendersonville, right next to the hospital, literally walking distance, it's right there, because I wanted the baby to get to the hospital quickly. And the other one was station number 2 in Springfield. And then they kind of started popping up from there. So I've had requests about Nashville. I am hoping that I don't have to do Nashville, but God's will be done. We'll see what happens there. Well, if there's no more questions, I switch to where my heart truly is right now.
Who gets the alarm, though?
Okay, yeah, so there is 3 silent alarms. The day the baby box was installed and blessed by the community, the fire station is trained on that. Every firefighter is trained, and the silent alarm goes to them. And so if they're out on a run, they will know there's a baby. So the way it works, if you saw in the pamphlet, thank you for bringing that up, is you see the baby box, you open it. Inside there's a bag, an orange bag of resources. Mom can add her medical information on it if she wants to, anonymously there or on the website. And she takes it back home. It has medical information, that's postpartum care, all that stuff. She surrenders the baby. There's a sensor for the weight, so when it's latched, it cannot be opened anymore unless it's from the inside. Now, from the inside, there's the silent alarm systems. They're all backups for each other. They will let the fire station and 911 know there's a baby surrendered. Average time is just like less than 2 minutes, I think, before the baby is taken. Obviously, if the elements are hot or cold outside, you don't want to have a baby outside. You know, it's dangerous, but this is thermoregulated and safe. And so from there, the firefighters will take the baby and take the baby to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Go ahead. Oh yeah, they actually have increased. I think now it's about 15,000 per box, plus electrical installation, alarm system, and masonry are the main three main costs. There is a yearly fee of, I think it's $500 now. So you were really looking at about 23K, unless you get your work donated. You know, I got some of that work donated, and if you have any leftover, it goes to the city. Now, during this process, there was this older lady, older but mighty. She showed up and she says, you know, in her little Corolla, I would like to donate $500,000 to Tennessee. And I'm like, okay, you know. So she anonymously donated a very large amount. She's Protestant, but she loves us Catholics, she said, because we fight the pro-life fight with her. I don't know how much of that has been used up already, because that was a few years ago. She said priority to Tennessee, but if there's other communities that really need it. Some of the baby box have been installed through that. That's not public information, but if you do bring it up, you can ask if there's still. Now, here's the thing. If you do want to open one, I say don't do anything unless you get. You can't even touch a cent unless you get the yes from the chief and the mayor. Because then you can have the situation where they will say no, and then you have other people's money, right? So you request a package. They send it to you. You study that well. You know it really well. After that, you have the option to just say, I usually approach the fire chief with the situation. I tell them what's the proposal, that it would be funded by, you know, by donors, because they don't want taxpayer money. And that's when you, if you get the yes from the chief, it gets voted into the mayor's office and the whole board of aldermen, and then they vote yes or no. They vote yes, then you move forward to the contract phase and the money phase. Now you can start technically fundraising. It would go to Safe Haven Baby Box. They'll keep the money. But now you don't have that liability that you fundraise and then the mayor says no, which has happened. And I tell people don't do that, and they're like, I got stuck with this. And I'm like, you know, that's the first thing they tell you not to do. Just know your stuff well, you know. And after that, if you do open one in Tennessee, let me know, because it's been really easy to share contracts between one city and another. So it's not, once one gets started, it really, the work's not that bad. Anything else? Any other questions? Go ahead. Yeah, it's in the bag. Yes, you can leave your parental information if you want to. It's an option, though. You can do it online or through the, write it down and leave it there with baby. But it's all, you can also all be fully anonymous. Now, I will switch gears. How much time do we have, David?
Yes, 10 minutes.
Perfect. Now, I was asked about my ministry, and really the heart of my ministry is evangelizing the rosary to non-Catholics, especially Protestants, because we all know that the Jesuits didn't do their job, so we need to finish that. And I'm sorry, Jesuits, but it's true. So this project has been so fun, because really Jesus has taken the wheel every aspect of it. It was Good Friday at 3:00, and I said, Lord Jesus, we need Tennessee to be the rosary state. We need to be like strong with the rosary, and we need the Protestants to come, but we need to do it fast. I feel like time is just like of the essence now. Well, he gave me this idea to, I had done these pamphlets for a nonprofit, has a lot of Protestants, and we've actually had so many conversions that one of my friends said, I passed them out at a service where there was 20 Protestants and all 20 prayed the rosary. And then I've been getting, you know, I think Gail, are you here, Gail? Is she here? Gail's passing him out at Mary Queen of Angels, and we're having people come back to praying the rosary who are lapsed. Or are you getting non-Catholics prayed it to, or mostly lapsed Catholics? So these pamphlets are taking off. The funny part is the Korean community, how that happened. That's a whole other story. So they're being taken everywhere. Lately, mega churches in Colorado. They're in Texas now. They're in Korea, and they're here. And it's just like, Jesus, what are you doing? But I feel like I should explain what's in the pamphlet for a second. As I was writing this for this nonprofit, I just felt like nothing was good enough to convince Protestants. So I sat in adoration. I said, Lord, just give me something that will just make them think a little more. So I added a few, you know, quotes in there. Like the first one is, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the rosary, the original name was the Angelic Psalter. And why is that? Because we have 150 psalms. So every psalm has every single human emotion. And they culminate in one word or one essence is they're waiting for the coming of the Messiah. So you have joy, fear, anger, every emotion. And they all just culminated like the desire of the Messiah. And every single one of them is fulfilled in one word in the New Testament. The Lord is with thee. That is the word that you have the entire fulfillment. Because now, you know, the Lord is now incarnate. And it's such a big deal that they don't realize, like, you know, I just always think about this. Exodus 33:20 says, you are not worthy to see the face of God and live. Mary was worthy to incarnate a face for God. That is huge. And not only is she worthy, she's revealing the face of God to humanity. You're telling me she's just every other woman? I don't think so. So it's the Angelic Psalter because now, originally with the 150 Hail Marys, we're responding to every psalm. The time that you were awaiting is now here. So every, now, and then now we added a lot of people. One of the fruits of this work is the opposite side where I had a lot of friends who didn't want to pray the Luminous Mysteries. Now I want to pray it because I told them, look, Mother Mary gave us, yes, this beautiful sword, but then she sees that we have, you know, really trying times, and she says, I'm going to proportion the sword of light for your times, and you're saying, I don't want to use it? Because I even make notice, like, you know, if you realize every mystery in the Luminous Mysteries corresponds to the things that are most under attack nowadays, which is what? Marriage, Orthodox teaching, baptism is a relationship with God. You know, and even like the real presence of the Eucharist. So they're a Lord of a light of sword for our times, and we're saying, I don't think so. Hey, the rosary was new at some point, and the Holy Spirit is a living, breathing, like being. So we're constantly responding to the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times people are like, I don't want this, but it's like, have you really thought about it? So in a way, I'm glad that people are praying those mysteries, especially because so many Catholics don't believe in the real presence. And marriage is another big one. Those are the first and the last. So these pamphlets are a simple way of explaining this to Protestants. And really the main reason why I joined the order was in the footsteps of St. Louis de Montfort, who said, I want to better propagate consecration to Mary. I really wanted to propagate praying the rosary. And long story short, and in the back, there's attached 33 meditations we're still working on. They're in Spanish, English, and Korean, coming soon. But I just want to tell you a few of the miracles that have happened around this. It's so funny. The other day, I was telling Jesus, you know, Jesus, I'm a little burned out because these things are expensive and they're going everywhere. And just send me somebody so I can print. There's a bunch of them if you guys want to take for your ministries. Go ahead and help yourself. All I ask is that you steward them, you know, with love because they are pricey. But there's not, you know, it's not a problem. But I did say to Jesus, you know, it's a little bunch sometimes. So I said, I would like for you to send me a few people to help me out, if possibly today, because I have to present in like a week. And he said to me, stay after Mass. Someone will approach you. And I said, okay, well, either I'm crazy and I'll just be praying after Mass or someone will approach me. And so I stayed after Mass and somebody approached me. And it was completely unrelated to the pamphlets. Somehow, I forget how the conversation went there. And she asked about my work. I don't know how, but long story short, she writes me a check. And I said, that was wild. So I felt God say, you know, shortly after, somebody else will come as well. And I said, okay, cool. So I was telling a friend about this whole thing that happened to me. She's like, wait a second, tell me about this project. She's like, let me write you a check. And I was like, what is happening? The total cost for the 1,000 pamphlets was $300, and they literally donated, it was $305, and they donated $300. So I was just like, oh, Lord Jesus, you're amazing. But the funniest part so far that has happened with this project is with the Korean community. I don't speak Korean. I don't know any Koreans. But for like a month, the Korean martyrs followed me everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I would look here, something about Korean martyrs. I would turn on my phone, the radio. They were just everywhere. Their feast day was nowhere nearby. And I said, why are the Korean martyrs following me? And I said, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me with the Koreans? And I said, you need to be a little more clear because I have no clue. And long story short, I went to drop my daughter off of school and I stayed over there for a little bit longer, so I didn't make it to my usual masses. So I looked up masstimes.org, found the nearest mass. I drove up there and I'm like, this is a Korean church. This is literally the next day. And it was funny that I show up, but there's nobody at mass. But Jesus said, just hold for a little bit. Okay, I'm just gonna do lots. I haven't done it yet. Then I see a bunch of older Korean ladies coming and I'm like, oh, it's mass. It's wrong on the website. It's at 10:30. So I go right after them. And I didn't know this, but a lot of Korean people are obsessed with babies. So they just love my son. They were like, even father was fighting the ladies for Dominic. But I stayed to mass and everything. It's all in Korean. I have no idea what's going on, but it's to our Lord. And then they approach me after mass and they're like, what brings you here? And there's like a statue of the Korean martyrs. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they brought me here. I have no clue why. And so father was fascinated by this and baby Dominic. And I said, okay, Lord, I am not sure what's going on. But I had an intuition and I said, Lord, are you asking for this pamphlets to be in Korean? And I'm like, well, here's the thing, Jesus, I don't know Korean. So you're going to have to send me a Korean. Well, the next time it was Palm Sunday, the busiest mass of the year. And I go and there's like no spots left. And they open two small rows behind the choir. And I go sit, and then here comes a Korean lady and sits behind me. And I don't usually befriend people during mass because, you know, you're just in prayer. But for some reason, my daughter's pants kept falling down. She's really tall and skinny. So this Korean lady is like, I had the same problem growing up. Let me help you out. So here we are dealing with my daughter's pants. And she's like, I just came from Seoul, Korea. And then we started talking, and we exchanged numbers for coffee. Long story short, she ended up translating the pamphlets into Korean. And then, so I'm like, okay, well, I guess I gotta take him to father now, you know? So there I go back to the Korean church I've been going on and off throughout the summer. And I said, father, I have no idea why, but I think I'm supposed to bring you this. He was so overjoyed that they let me stay for lunch after mass. And they were all love feeding baby. And I'm like, I think I've been officially adopted by the Koreans now. And then long story short, there's a lay order of Dominicans dedicated to the rosary in Korea. And there's a priest in Korea helping me do some stuff over there. I am just, I don't know where this is going. So all I wanted to say is, you open your heart to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. I would have never thought to pray to the Korean martyrs. But maybe God's trying to tell you something. So the whole project's been like that. I could give a whole talk about like, this is the crazy things that are happening around that. Just pray. And today I will end with this. You can go to the website online, still under construction. We're still uploading. The pamphlets are there. You can download them, print them. You can take as many as you would like for your ministries if you would like to, no pressure. Or if you would like to get them professionally printed. If any of you has a printing shop, let me know because I would rather just give the work to a Catholic. But please help yourself. There's Spanish and English there. And any questions before we're done?
I just want to tell you, this is so important to everybody.
Oh, thank
you. It truly is. And we need to give it to Knights of Columbus people, Legion of Mary, whatever organizations you're in your church. These need to be spread around so that we can evangelize and change hearts to our lady.
We need to an army praying the rosary right now more than ever. And you know, and I really, you know, it's done in a way that is self-sustainable. I even put by a lay Dominican because I really think the graces just come from the order. The moment I joined the order, a lot of crazy things started happening. So we're all one family here. So thank you, and please pray for me. God bless you.